Right. If everybody's not on board with it right now, God is on board with it. Amen. When things come again, when God is answering prayers for you, don't you get afraid. And I wish I told my daughter this, because she's had a little problem at work, and I want to tell her, listen, God gave you that job. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't worry about somebody taking away what God has given you. Amen. Because if something happened and you lost that job, God's got another one better over here, to just because he raises us up. Amen. But you got to believe that. And that testimony, Ed, you got other people praying for you, and that's a blessing. Valerie, it's a blessing to see you. How are you feeling today? Praise God. Thank you for taking care of Frank. We all love Frank. And he's a caregiver also. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's just thank God today. Thank God for all the things that he's done in our lives. Thank God for those he puts in our place. He puts with us the friends that he gives us, the loved ones he gives us, the new friends that are just so dedicated to us that we don't even know why, except it's the love of God. We need to see more of the love of God in this world, in our country, in our towns, in our families. We need to see more. Families fight. Why? To have more love of God, to bring it all together. We sang that song, I was glad when they said unto me, Lord. Somebody brought me to you years ago, and that's been the greatest change in my life, the greatest blessing. I'm still Larry. I still play my guitar. I still like the Yankees. I still fall short daily, Lord. As Paul said, I need you more today, because I know what happens when you fall short. I know what sinning does. I know, Lord, and I need you more. But I thank God that somebody brought me to you. Today we got this family. We're going to feed with your word. And we pray more people come through that door, Lord. And we pray that we're all strong as a family to bring them in and keep them here for them, for God, so their lives will change. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that we have this day to pray and to believe in and to enjoy. Thank you for the colors that we talked about last week, the yellows and the greens and the beautiful flowers blooming, Lord, that lay dormant all winter long in the trees, Lord, just so beautiful. Thank you for that gift, where you created this world. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just love you in this house. We just need more of you. Thank you, Lord. What it is. Amen means that's it. That's what it, when God says so, he says so. Give him praise and glory today. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hey, we got requests for the choir later when we were doing the Lord's Supper assembly to have the choir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Y'all relaxed? Kick off your dust. Let's get ready. I got to tell you something. I'm not going to impress you with a big sermon, with big words. I'm not going to be scholarly today. I'm not going to be the guy that you're going to see on TV talking to thousands of people because I'm the smartest man, because I'm not, and I don't want to be. I don't want that job. I'm going to talk to you right here today. I'm going to get you right here today. Are you ready for that? Are you open for that? No big words. We're going to go right to it. Hallelujah. Book of Luke. I got these out of Frank. There's a few of them, so I'll just start with the book of Luke, and I'm going to read them. It came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. What did he do? Hallelujah. Luke 5. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Amen. You catching on here? He prayed when he was alone. He went to the mountains and prayed. He prayed before he raised Lazarus. He prayed for the little children. He prayed for the disciples. He prayed after feeding the 5,000. He prayed in the temple. He prayed at Gethsemane, at the garden where he was taken. And he prayed on the cross. Who is he talking to? Each time you read about Jesus praying, he talked to his Father. Where is he? Hallelujah. He prayed. One time it said he prayed all night long. You say, well, Lord, do I have to pray all night long? Do you have to eat supper? Do you have to smile? He wanted to pray all night long. Amen. If you have to do something like that for God, God didn't want you to do it. He doesn't want you to have to do anything. Amen. He wants you to want. You know why? Because there's comfort in prayer. Have anybody here ever felt comfort when you're praying? When you believe that God is listening, Valerie, when you believe that He's listening, there's a comfort there. All of a sudden, you're not alone. You can't be depressed then because God's with you. You can't have anxiety because you're talking to God. Amen? You see, and Jesus, He was the Son of who? And what was He doing? Why did He have to pray? Because He needed to utterly be dependent on a power higher than Himself, His Father. When He was on this earth, remember, He was in flesh and blood. Amen? And He prayed. He prayed. Hallelujah. How many got family you wish would come to church? How many got friends you wish would come to church? How can you help those you love most if you're not grounded in Jesus, in prayer, not grounded in faith and thanksgiving, trusting always that God will and does answer? Amen? The proof of your faith, the proof of what you're walking, is in how much do you pray? Do your children see you pray? Do you insist on praying before supper? Do you insist on praying, even if you were in a restaurant and all the people, do you insist on saying, I'm going to take 10 seconds and I'm going to thank God for this? Do you let other people know that you're praying? Or do you just assume that they're going to catch on sooner or later without you praying about it, without you showing them what prayer means? Amen? And not showing them, but showing them your faith by your joy, by your love for God. Amen? How do you expect to turn everybody? When you don't pray, when you don't talk about Jesus, when you don't give Him the glory, amen? You know what you add into your family and your friends? You add confusion. You don't want confusion, amen? Am I true on that? You don't want confusion. You want your family to come to church. You want your family to know what you know, amen? And now when we get older, and we're older, we want our grandchildren to know the message, amen? We want our grandchildren to have a joy that we didn't have because we didn't understand. When I was a kid, I was afraid of God. Why? Because I was told if I didn't do this, I was going to hell. If I didn't do that, I was going to hell. If I didn't go here on a Sunday, I was going to hell. I said, this guy is scaring me. All He wants you to do is love Him. And let me tell you, when you love Him, the way I love Him, you want to go to church on Sunday. You want to hear the good news. You want to laugh. You want to say, yeah, I want to be stronger. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The proof of your faith is in your works. How much you pray with your family. And now here's the thing about prayer. You might not realize it, but prayer is the most powerful weapon you have. And I'm going to tell you to do this. Make a list. I want you today, if you don't. But I would think you make a list of your prayers. Make a list so exact. And listen to me now, not for God. He don't need to know your list. But for you, I want you to make a list of your prayer. This is what, I need a healing. I need a job. I need to find somebody to be with. I want a relationship. I want whatever you want. Amen? Because God says, I'm going to answer your needs. But you need to make the list so that you see with your own eyes. Hallelujah. Make a list of your prayers, more for you than for God. The list will help you focus and remember. Because I'm telling you, I'm sure that I know that I know that you've had prayers out there that you've already forgotten about. Amen? You had gas for the car, so you forgot all the prayers that He's answered. You're here today. Amen? Because God answered all your prayers because you're sitting here, aren't you? Would you rather be any? I'd rather be here than anywhere else. Hallelujah. And I don't mean to be in church. I just here, being able to be with you. Now, here's the other thing with prayer. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody your prayers. And here's why. because it's between you and God. You start praying, and you can pray all day long. You can pray, but pray to Jesus. Don't get confused. Don't let the devil attack you and start to doubt who Jesus is. Amen? Because the second you start doubting who Jesus is, you're going to doubt everything. Why should you pray? If Jesus was just somebody who did all these things and then died on the cross and wasn't that special, then why should you pray? I'll just go along my life, and when God wants to bless me, I'll be good. Amen? No. You want to believe that He is who He said He is. Amen? Now you're praying. Now here's the thing. You, don't tell anybody. Don't tell. My wife said to me this morning, why are you? I said, I'm praying when I'm dry. I always pray. And I said, I'm not telling you. Because it's between me and Him. You see, that's where the confidence comes in. That's where the conversation, that's where the relationship really gets heavy. Amen? When you go to work and you're frustrated and you start praying, the people working there, they don't have to know you're praying. In fact, it's probably better that they don't. But when something starts to happen for you, you start giving God thanks. You start praising Him. You start realizing, I'm going to do this job unto You, Lord. I don't care about these people. These people are lost, but I'm not. I'm with You. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to have You lift me up. You lift me up, Lord. I'm going to do my job so that when they look at me, they say, I need him. I need her. I don't really like them, but for some reason, I need that person. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Tell nobody. Now, I know it says two or more together, David. You've heard that many times. When two or more, Chuck, are gathered, your prayer is stronger. That's when you're praying. Somebody says, I feel sick. Let's pray. I need to pray. But here's the important thing about praying by yourself. Sometimes when you pray two or three more, if I come over to you and I prayed for a healing for you, I need you to believe that with me the way I believe it. Amen? Or the prayer is not two or more. We're not two or more gathered together. Amen? If I'm praying for your children to come to church next week, and you're standing there saying, boy, I hope they come. God, I hope they come. Then we're not in agreement. Amen? So that's why I'm saying sometimes two or three gathered together might be nice to have two or three gathered together, but you're not in agreement. Amen? So when you're praying to God, you're in agreement with who? Hallelujah. Pray about everything. Everything in your life. Say, well, my relationship isn't really. My husband does this. My wife does that. Pray about it. Don't fight about it. Amen. The devil wants you to fight just like that. He wants you to get mad at your wife just like that. At your friend just like that. At your boss. The devil wants, because once you get mad, you've lost it. Amen. Once you get mad, you've lost your peace. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace that surpasses your own understanding. How many want that? Hallelujah. And you all want it, I hope. Now listen. If you were depressed in February, if you had anxiety in February, you had worries in February, amen? I mean, really, just, I don't know what to do, I got pain. Let me tell you something, it's May. So, there's two things that can happen. Either God cured you, either your prayer was answered, or He's carrying you through, amen? It's not February anymore. So that depression you thought you had in February is now in May. So either you don't have depression anymore, or God is carrying you through, amen? Either way, what you should do, you should give Him thanks and do what? Rejoice. When I tell you give Him praise this morning. Give Him praise this morning that you're here. Rejoice. If you're not feeling well, but you say, boy, that was in February, here it is May, something good is happening to me because God got me here. Hallelujah. Health, work, relationships, family. Let me tell you, Jesus is the medicine. Proverbs 17:22. Jesus is the medicine. Jesus is the medicine. In Proverbs, it says that. I read a lot of other books, a lot of pastors' books, a lot of self-help books, but you know what they are? They're opinions. But this book, this is a promise book. You know, we got little promise books that we give out to everybody, but this is the full edition promise book, amen? This book has the promises. I love reading other people's books. I get excited. I like reading Westerns, and I like reading other people who talk about God, but those are opinions and some scripture. This is God, amen? That's why you got to do that. Determination takes work and dedication. Refuse to be down. Refuse to be held down. Amen? The unbeliever says, there are no jobs, there's no work, it doesn't pay enough, it's not worth my time, things won't change. But the believer said, God has a job for me. Hallelujah. He says, I will prove myself at any job that I can find. I will make them happy to have me. I will prove to God I am determined, dedicated to Him, and do every job unto Him. Hallelujah. I will write down my idea of a perfect job. You should write down everything from now on to what you want God to do, and then allow God to complete my prayer. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen for that? Okay. I need you to pray. I need you to be more and pray. Trust God. Trust Him. Let me tell you, the more you start praying in restaurants, and I've seen this, and I got friends, we all pray, people are going to come over. The other day we had the waiter pray with us. He came over and he held hands and prayed. People are hungry for that. Hallelujah. You tell them a funny joke, amen. You'll kid about the Red Sox and the Yankees, but you won't say, come on, we're going to pray to Jesus for a minute. Why? God is waiting for it. Maybe you will change that person's life. Imagine that. You can change somebody's life by giving them God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, anybody want to be healthy? A merry heart. Proverbs 17, Frank, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit drives the bones. Amen? Somebody's calling your name. Somebody's down on you. That breaks your spirit. Somebody says something bad about you. You don't feel good about it, do you? You're depressed. All of a sudden, you're depressed. But a merry heart does good like medicine. You say something good to somebody. You lift them up, and all of a sudden, they start feeling better. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. What's happening in our world? What's happening? Anybody remember All in the Family? Anybody remember the Jeffersons? How about Sanford and Son? Three of my favorite shows. What's happening? We laughed at those shows, amen? We didn't get mad. I mean, Fred Sanford was funny. He was down on everybody. And the cop, the Caucasian persuasion cop, remember him? And Julio next door. I mean, this guy, and nobody got mad. They understood that he was a fool, okay? He was kind of like the bigot. Like, I mean, who was bigger than All in the Family? You had the left wing over here and Mike, his son, and then you had him, and then you had poor Edith in the middle. Nobody got upset. Remember when the Jeffersons moved next door and he was saying all these, everybody laughed at him. Why? Because he was a fool. Amen? He was portraying somebody who was a fool. And you don't argue with a fool. My wife, this is why it's so funny last night, the call I got. Let me tell you something. You don't argue with a fool, amen? You don't get in discussions with somebody who's foolish. Somebody says something so crazy, so out there, don't get in a discussion with them because you're only going to get yourself dirty in that discussion, amen? Hallelujah. What happened to us that we can't laugh anymore? Everybody's angry. Everybody's mad. Everybody gets offended. How can somebody you don't even know offend you? I've had how many Italian jokes I've had and ball jokes, right, George? We get them, I get them. How many times? I don't get offended. And if there's somebody on TV that I don't, listen, we all get angry, we all have likes and dislikes, amen? But if there's somebody on TV who's talking bad about God and he puts down religion and he's just real, just anti-God, that's all I'm not saying he's right, but this is what he is. You know what I do? I change the channel. I don't want him losing a job. I don't want to be mad at him, because when I get mad at him, I fall in a trap, amen? I start getting blind. But people are getting mad. I'm thinking, what are you mad about? Somebody said something stupid, and you're mad to the point that your anger is raging against each other. Hallelujah. There's another woman that we watch, and we like a lot of TV. The stuff that we watch is crazy. And she is so funny. She is so talented. She's on at night. And my wife and I will put it on. And then we have to change it, because for now, she can't get 30 seconds into her monologue before they're bleeping out the bad words. Words that my mother ever heard said, boy, I would have had two bars of soap. You know how it was when we were kids. And I'm thinking, why does somebody so talented? I said, well, no, that's what she wants to do. I just changed the channel, amen? I don't get mad. I don't say, she needs to get off the air. How can she do that on my television set? Because if I have kids, they don't watch it. That's all, amen? But it's just where we're going with our anger. People get offended with our anger. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Proverbs 14:17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Amen? A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Listen to this again. You think of anybody that you don't like, you don't like what they say, you don't like what they feel. Listen to it. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. Amen? And listen to this, and this is the one. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. If you came to this church and I got you all fired up and I got you angry about something of offenses and you left here, you'd be mad, amen? And the next time you go to the restaurant, you're mad. Somebody comes over, you're mad. You go to the mall, you're mad. That's how things happen, amen? I want you to leave here with so much joy that you want to hug somebody at the mall, amen? That's the difference. That's all. And here's the hate. We hate this. I hate this person. Even in Washington, we've got to watch it. I got to watch it. Amen. I've been 3 years a pastor now. Greg and I have had some of the most interesting conversations, and we love each other. We don't get mad at each other. We get talk, and all of a sudden we're hugging and kissing and watching TV. We love each other. But I'm trying in the 3 years. 3 years. Yeah, he's a good kid. 3 years. I'm trying to keep my opinion, when I tell you my opinion, separated from the Word of God. Amen. I'm reading from Proverbs here when I'm telling you all this. But I'm telling you, these people hate each other. When I hear these people on TV that are supposed to be representing all of us, one side telling the other side, I hate this person. This person's this. This person's that. Well, this person who gives to this person is really bad. And I hate that person. You know what that causes? That causes our whole country to fall apart, amen? And when you do that in your home life, that causes your home life to fall apart, amen? And when you do that with your friends, that causes your friendships to fall apart, amen? And let me tell you, when I'm going to say this again, an angry man stirs up strife and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Hallelujah. Here's where the anger just gets to you, and you do things that are just absolutely about somebody that you hate. Okay, I don't like what he does, I don't like what he says, but he's made his money legally, amen? He's not in jail. He got a business. He's got things he supports. And yeah, you don't like him for who he supports, what he supports. You say, okay, that's good. All of a sudden, this man gives millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, to a cause, to a hospital. And other people say, I ain't taking that money. What? He didn't steal it. He's not the mafia. He didn't get it from selling drugs. Well, maybe he did from drugs. I don't know. They did all the stuff to boot. But all of a sudden, because of their anger and their rage, they're saying, $300 million, and I'm not taking it. I don't like you. What about the families that could have helped? What about the children that could have been saved? This man wasn't a crook. He might be evil in your eyes. He might be. And you might be right. You might be right. But I'm going to take you right back. All right, y'all ready for this now? Are you ready for this? I'm taking you right back to the beginning of church. Are you ready? Forgive us our trespasses as... No, you didn't. I didn't hear any forgiveness in that at all. Forgive us our trespasses as
we forgive our trespasses.
You hate somebody, pray for that person. Amen? You pray. We're right back to where we were. Jesus prayed. Amen? People hated him. Did he throw stones? No, he loved them. Amen? He said, you don't love me, that's fine. I'm going to pray for you. And some people say, well, I'm not going to pray for that person because maybe they'll change their mind and I might have to like them. And I don't want to like that guy. I don't want to like the Red Sox. I got a friend of mine who hates the Yankees because of George Steinbrenner. Hates the, well, George Steinbrenner ruined the game. I said, no, he didn't. Oh, he's been, he didn't. I said, the league got together, they formed a union. Here's what happened. They formed a union because one player said that this isn't fair. We're not getting enough money. So the baseball said, okay, you can, after your contract runs out, you can be called a free agent. And the teams, any team can sign you, whatever they want to pay you, they can pay you. So George Steinbrenner said, I want the Yankees to be a winner. Yeah, he overspent on players, amen? He followed the rules. He followed the rules. And this friend of mine hates the Yankees because of him. Hates him. He destroyed the game because he followed the rules. And I said, time out there. Your team just spent $16 million for 1 year for this guy. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he just gave this guy $150 million for 5 years. Oh, that's different. What? Anger. You see, anger? He won't buy anything to the Yankees. George Steinbrenner, when he bought the Yankees, if anybody remembers Roger Maris, Dave, you remember Maris? He hit 61 home runs in 1961. There were 20,000 people at the ballpark that day. 20,000. Place was in 1970s, when Don Mattingly was playing for the Yankees, they drew 20,000 people to the ballpark. When George Steinbrenner bought the team, they started drawing 3 and 4 million people a year. That meant more ushers, more police, more security, more restaurants, more people selling the foods, amen? That meant work and taxes to the state of New York, amen? That meant good things. So you got to watch the hate. He hates him. I said, well, pray for him. Well, he's passed on now, so he's praying for us. But you see where hate gets you? He hates the Yankees. Won't do anything we'll do with the Yankees because he hates George Steinbrenner. See what hate does to you? It blinds you to the good. And then, like I said, when I show him that, well, the team that he likes, spending millions of dollars, they're one of the top five teams in sports spending their money. But that's okay now. George is the evil one. Right back to it again. Prayer. You hate those people? You hate those people? You hate that channel? Pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for those people I'm telling you about. It doesn't cost me anything, but it makes me healthy. Amen? A merry heart does good like medicine. I'm not going to let them steal my joy anymore. I'm not going to get furious like that anymore. I'm going to pray for them and hope that they find God. Amen? Because if they find God, something good is going to happen. And remember when I tell you, when God blesses, we all receive the blessing. Amen? Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as the next time you want to call somebody a name, you say, wait a minute, I don't want to be judged. Lord, I forgive that person for offending me because you know what, Lord, it really didn't affect me at all. It really didn't affect me. I don't know why people are going, it didn't affect them. Millionaires get offended. I get offended. You get offended. I think, what are you offended about? A fool. In his mouth is his own destruction. Archie Bunker, we didn't get offended, amen? Fred Sanford, I laughed about it. Aunt Esther, I remember Aunt Esther, you fish-eyed fool. She went in there with this in her hand, and that was before I knew Jesus, and I used to look at her when she's waving the Bible, and I didn't get offended. Hallelujah. The Jeffersons, great show, I didn't get offended, amen? Love one another. Pray for one another. Give God praise and glory, brothers. Give them to Him. That is right here. All that big words and other stuff, that's for up here, and we know what happens when it gets up there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that You've called us. Thank You that You've loved us, Lord. Thank You that You've accepted us. Lord, we thank You for this day. We're going to leave here, Lord, trying to leave the anger behind, leaving the wrath behind, Lord. When we see things, Lord, that upset us, we know now that we need to pray. When we hear somebody say something we don't like, Lord, we need to know now, it doesn't touch me because I'm praying to God for that person or those people or whatever is said, Lord. We need to know that we don't argue with a fool, Lord, because we fall into that trap and become that. We rise above it. We rise above our anger. And, Lord, that prayer becomes peace. That prayer becomes healing.
We're going to make a list of our prayers, Lord. We're going to write them down so exact that we can't mistake it's our prayer. Not for you, but for us. So to remember, Lord, and we're going to come with testimonies. And we're going to come with stories about how you touch our life and how you bring us from glory to glory. Thank you for this day. Thank you for those in attendance, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God. Until we meet again next Sunday, let's all ask God to bless this beautiful country that we live in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen.